This is the Chapel Hour, today presenting a message by the founder of Bob Jones University, the late Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. It was recorded Christmas Day, 1955. This message, based upon John chapter 14, verse 27, is entitled, The Peace of God.
Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the 27th verse from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And remember, these words came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice especially this little sentence, My peace give I unto you. When Jesus Christ was born, the angel choir sang, Peace on earth, goodwill to men, or as some people translate it, to men of goodwill. Yet Jesus said in one place, I came not to give peace but a sword. Strange about the Bible. People tell you the Bible is full of contradictions. There are no contradictions in the Bible. The troubles in the minds of men, the natural man cannot understand the Bible. And so many Christians don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth, and that's the reason so many conflicting opinions. But you know, it's just a very wonderful thing that there's no real conflict of opinion on the eternal essentials of the Bible. For instance, the Bible claims to be God's Word. There's no contradiction about that. All Orthodox Christians believe whatever the Bible says is so. They don't always agree about what it says because they don't always understand what it says. But they agree to whatever does say is so. An Orthodox Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, whoever he may be. If he's an Orthodox Christian, he believes that whatever the Bible says is so. And all Orthodox Christians agree about the eternal fundamentals of the Christian faith. You can take any Orthodox Christian in any church in this country. Believes, if he's Orthodox, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That was perfectly plain in the Bible. There's no misunderstanding about that. They believe that he preached a sermon on the mount. They believe that he healed the sick, opened the blind of the eyes, unstopped deaf ears, cured a leper with his touch, calmed a troubled wave. They believe all that. That's simple and clear and understandable. And they believe he died on the cross to save sinners. They believe that he was God incarnated. They may not be able to fathom what that means. That may be too deep for them, and it is deep. The fundamental truth of Christianity is that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. So they believe that. They believe he died on a cross to save people. They may not be theologians, and they may not say substitution and vicarious, but they say he died for me, and that's what it means. He died in my place. He died on my account. That's what substitution and vicarious means. Substitution, he died in my place. Vicarious, he died on my account. They believe he rose from the dead. And all Orthodox Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior in the world, that nobody else can save you. Now, if they're Orthodox Christians, they all believe that. Because they'd have to believe that, because that's plainly taught in the Bible. For instance, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, nobody cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I'm the only gate, I'm the only door, I'm the only way. And you have to come this way to get in. That's all plain, that's all clear. There's no trouble about that. The great Orthodox Christian denominations of the world, in their creeds, all believe the same thing about the eternal essentials of the faith. Now, some people believe that you can get salvation and lose it. And some people don't believe you can lose it after you get it. But, you know, that's not such a big difference after all when you stop to think about it. You've got to get it to keep it, and you've got to get it to lose it. So the important thing is to help people get it. If you can't lose it, you can't lose it. If you can lose it, you ought to be a good boy and a good girl, live the right kind of life, see? What's the use of arguing, see? I never have had any trouble getting along with God's Orthodox people. Now, there's no contradiction in the Bible. Now, when Jesus Christ was born, the angel choir sang, Peace on earth, goodwill to man. That's what they said. And yet they had more than said that, and the ministry of Jesus had more than begun until he said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Now, wait a minute. In other words, I am the issue. I am the issue. There's just one issue in this world. What will you do with Jesus Christ? There has never been any other issue. That was in the Old Testament. What are you going to do with the Lamb of God that's to come? All through the Old Testament, they pointed to Jesus Christ. You can count prophecy after prophecy literally fulfilled. He was to be born of a virgin. He was to be betrayed by a friend. He was to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. A potter's field should be bought with the price of his blood. All of that's in the Old Testament. He kept saying when he was here, this is being fulfilled today. So he's the issue. You know, a lamb on the altar was not the issue in the Old Testament. It was the thing, the lamb that was being sacrificed was typified, that was the issue. It's not the type that's the issue. It's the thing that the type stands for that's the issue. Jesus Christ is the issue. No other issue except that. Never has been. Now, Jesus Christ offered peace to everybody. But you can't have peace on your own terms. If you ever have the peace of God, you have to get the peace of God on God's terms. He calls the scores. He makes the standards of peace. He said, I've come not to give peace but a sword. Families won't agree about it. Husband will be for me and his wife against me, or the wife will be for me and the husband against me. Parents will be for me and children will break their hearts. He can't. I'm going to be the dividing line in the world. He's the dividing line today. The division today is not between communism and democracy. It's between Christ and humanity, selfish humanity. That's the division. There's no problem if the world would give Jesus Christ his right place. There'd be no problem in your home. Poverty wouldn't be a problem. It would turn to a blessing. All the things, they wouldn't be problems. He's a solution to all the problems. In him we find what the world needs, but the world won't take. What does the world need? It needs peace. Well, he offered peace, but the world wants peace on its own terms. They say now we're going to have a great worldwide religious boom. It's all fixed up. No Jews, no Catholics, no Protestants, no modernists, no fundamentalists, Buddhists, pagans, all sorts. Come on now, let's all be brothers and shake hands. Well, now, that's not right. In America, we are good patriotic Americans. We say, all right, brother, you can be an infidel in America if you want to, an atheist, an agnostic. We good Americans, and we get along together. But you know, Jesus Christ looked out of the crowd and said, you are your father, the devil. Don't call God my father, your father. You're no brother of mine. Go to your own crowd. It's a strange thing about how the world's coming around to Jesus, trying to get a handout from Jesus. They want Jesus to give them peace. They don't want anybody killed. See? But why don't you look to your own father if you're a sinner? Devil's your father. You don't like that? Well, don't blame me. Just call up heaven and get Jesus on the phone. He said, you're children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he said. That's clear in the Bible. Emphatically clear. So, you're getting, trying to get peace, you know. We want peace. We don't want any more. I don't want to be killed. We don't want any bomb dropped on us around here. I don't want this property blown up out here at Bob Jones University. You know, this represents sacrifice and blood, and I like it out here. I don't want my little home where I sleep at night with a bomb dropped on it. Nobody wants it. But, you know, you won't take the peace that Jesus Christ offered the world. You want your idea of peace. Well, now I'll make terms with you. You won't make terms with him. He'll make the terms. You'll take what he says, and he's the authority. Listen, think of what Jesus Christ said. He never said, I think. He never said, this is my opinion. He never said, this might be so. He never said, we may reasonably agree about this. He never said, this isn't worth arguing about. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He just went ahead and said it. People go into the courtroom and they hold up their hands and say, will you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing else but the truth, so help you God, and they swear it. And as far as they can, they mean it, and they keep it, most of them. But did you ever stop to think about nobody ever kept that oath? You can tell the truth, but you can't tell all of it because you don't know all of it. All you can do is tell what you know. You can tell what you know, but Jesus Christ never said, I'm just telling. He said, I am the truth. On what truth is, look at me. I'm the truth. So he told the truth, the whole truth. He said, I'm truth incarnate. And not only that, he didn't tell anything but the truth. You can't find any rubbish in anything Jesus ever said. Take his Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You could write 1,000 volumes on that. You can put 1,000,000 words around that verse, but you can't add anything to it. There's no rubbish in it. You can put some in it, but you can't take anything out and nothing to take out. We put rubbish in everything we do, nearly. Gets in my sermon sometimes. Gets in all preachers' sermons, because we are human. But there was no rubbish in what he said. When he said it, he'd finish it, that's all. He spoke the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. All the light of the ages turned upon his ministry. He stands out there. Nothing he ever said can be impeached. You can't question it. You can jump on some of the Old Testament prophets. And they didn't always claim. They just gave their opinion about something. But whenever God said to the prophet, and he said, God told me to tell you this, God's speaking to me, and it's God's message, you got it straight. All right, there's no conflict in the Bible. These people say, well, you know, the Bible's so full of contradictions. What do you know about the Bible? Why, it's the greatest book ever written. It's a book made up of what God said, what man said, what the devil said. What God said's always true. What the devil said's usually a lie. But God told you the devil said it, so you wouldn't believe it. He didn't tell you he said it. But when God says the devil said it, the devil said it. Don't go back of it. And when God says man said it, man said it. Now, man might tell you something that's not exactly right. Paul said one time he had no revelation on a certain subject. And we read the book of Ecclesiastes where it said this key, here is a man under the sun. Here's a man that sits down and reasons about God. And he says, this goes on, thus says a man under the sun. It didn't tell you God said it. God said the man under the sun said it. And the man under the sun said it. And he's a pretty wise man. He hit it most places. But there's certain things there that you've got a right to take issue with. For instance, it says there's a time for everything. Well, people find time to do everything, but there's no time to do some things if you're going to live right. So there you go. But there's no trouble with the Bible. Wait a minute. Don't you worry about conflict. Now let's get it together. Angel choirs sang, peace on earth, goodwill to men. But 2,000 years almost gone, we still having trouble. Wars and wars and wars. I mean, when I was a boy, they told me, when I was just a young preacher going up and down this country, and reading the Bible about the last days, perilous times are coming. They'd go on and talk about nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You hear wars and rumors of wars. He said, you better get a look out now. Men may not be yet, but there's certain signs that way. And I'd go around and preach it, you know. And I said, we'll always have war. They said, you shouldn't talk like that. We won't have any more war. There will be another. We are too nice and too intelligent. And the world is so beautiful. Everything's so good. And man is so lovely. And we won't have any more war. And I remember a preacher down south, a very brilliant, charming fellow, preached his sermon on Sunday morning and caught a train to New York next day to get a boat to go to Europe. Sit at a great conference over there to bring in universal peace. And the guy got over there, and he got caught in the war. It took him months to get back. He said there wouldn't be any more war. Last war's all over, you know. Well, now, that's not in the Bible. There'll be wars until the end of this age. Why? Shouldn't be any, but there will be. Why? Because man wants peace on his terms, not on God's terms. So when the angel choir sang peace on earth, goodwill to men, and Jesus came along and said, I didn't come to bring you any peace. I came to bring a sword. I've come to make an issue in this world. And until the world settles this issue, there'll never be anything settled. You'll never settle your business problems right. You may settle them temporarily. You may hold off the bad day. Hope we won't get to have it anytime soon. Well, now we're going to have it sometime. Why are we going to have it? We won't take peace on the terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just come along and throw some kisses at Jesus and say he's the solution to the problem. The only way you'll ever settle the question with Jesus Christ is to surrender your life to him. Make him first. Now you can take a walk and go right on. There can be a chaplain in this country, over on European soil, a chaplain in the enemy's army. And the chaplain in the enemy's army may be in a prison. This Christian chaplain, if he's a born-again man, go around the prison and say, brother, how you feeling? You know, you can have a Christian German and a Christian Englishman. in an army fighting each other, but it's war. And when they get together, they're all right. Christian people are bound together with ties. They are supposed, if they're really Christians, to speak the same language. But sometimes ambition gets in with us, you know. Somebody wants to take over something and suffers what they call frustration and wants to run things. So that's the way it goes, you know. And then we have war, and then the Bible tells us why we have that. He said it comes out of us. We have war in our members. You know, these modern folks, psychologists, talk about frustration. It takes them a long time to explain it. It just means you want something you didn't get. It made you mad, that's all it means. That's in the Bible, just plain as day. He said you fight and have not and struggle to have. You know, he said you have wars in your members. In your body down there, you want something you didn't get. Some fella took your girl away from you, you pout the rest of your life about it. You didn't get it and had to take that other woman. Wasn't quite up to the one you thought the other one was, and you had to put up with her, you see. And you know how that thing goes, you see. We talk big words and talk wild, call frustration. God says the trouble's in you, that's all. You know, the only trouble with men is that they're not rightly related to God. You know, the right relation of your life to God will settle every problem. Now, what did Jesus say to his disciples? Now, we in a world that he said he didn't come to bring any peace but a sword, to make an issue. He said, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives you, give I unto you. Now, he was talking about going away. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away, but I'll fix you up a nice house while I'm up there. Get my room all fixed up for you, and I'll come back sometime. But I'm going to leave you down here in this world. World where there's no peace. World where there's a conflict between labor and capital. World where competition's in business. A world that you can't fix and men can't fix. But while I'm gone, don't worry. I'll send the comforter back. I'll ask the Father. I'll take care of you. You belong to me, you see. You have a little passport to travel in this country for a while. And you're here and you're going to have a rough time of it. It won't be easy for you. No Christian ever had it easy if he's a real Christian. You don't have it easy. But you have peace whether you have ease or not. You can have peace in your heart in an uncomfortable bed. Paul had peace in his heart in a jail. I imagine Paul and Silas in jail at midnight, and there they were, and I think I hear Silas asking Paul if he feels all right. He said, pretty well, Silas. He said, what's the matter with you? Comfortable? Yeah, pretty well. Your back hurt? Yes, a little. You discouraged? Oh, no. I'm learning whatever state I am to be content. I mean, I'm content. And now I think I hear Paul say, Silas, how about singing something? And they cut loose down there, and those fellows said, we never heard anybody do that before. We've heard them cuss in that cell. We've heard them fight down there. We had to go down and knock them down and quiet them. What are they singing about? They were in jail. Listen, the measure of the peace you have depends upon the measure of your surrender to Christ. If you don't have peace in your heart, your surrender's not complete. You don't fret and fume and worry along the life's way if you have peace in your heart, if you surrender. You know, I've seen Christians go through the severest trial in the world. Maybe suffered pain. Always quiet and restful in the Lord. Things go wrong. Well, you know why they have peace? Well, they believe God. They believe what God said. What did God say? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are called according to his purpose. God told a man to say that, you know. Man had tried it out. Paul knew what he's talking about. For we know, he said. Now, it would have been so if Paul hadn't known it. But it sure was a lot of help to know it. Mighty nice when you're up against it to know everything's all right. Some of you are alone today, and you wonder why God lets you be so alone. Well, maybe you needed to be alone. Maybe you had everything like you wanted, you wouldn't be as good a Christian as you are. All things work together for good, for we know it does. To them who love God and who are called according to his purpose, what you worrying about? What are you going to give them, Jesus? My peace. Yeah, your peace. Do you mean to tell me that you can give men what you have? Yes, it's my peace. The same quality of peace. It may not be the peace that I have in the quantity of peace, so to speak. Because I can see the end from the beginning. He saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. You know, it's wonderful to be able to look beyond the cross to the glory land. It's wonderful to be able to look beyond the cross and see all the kingdoms of the world becoming the kingdom of Christ. That's wonderful, you know. The trouble with us, our vision is so limited. We don't see very far, see. But we ought to believe him, though, whether we see or not. Now, I told you somebody today is in bed sick. You've had a pretty tough time over this Christmas. And everybody's happy and you're there. And you sometimes feel like, well, why do I have to put up with this? Well, all right, something wrong with you, with your faith. That's all. With your faith. My peace give I unto you. You know, these fellows had a pretty hard time. Paul and all the rest of them. Of course, Paul wasn't in this group right here now Jesus was talking to. They had a pretty hard time of it. And they didn't have complete peace at that time, and they had a stormy line. But after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down, and Peter got up and preached. You know, I sometimes read Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, and I can't help but smile. Peter standing up there and shooting straight gospel gun at those fellows, said, "You took him, and by wicked hands crucified him, slew him." He's just giving them thunder, you know, just giving them a lie what they did. And then tell them how they can be saved, all that kind of situation. And I think about it, where were you, Peter? When he was out there and he was going to come out there and you were warming out there the devil's fire. And then swearing you didn't even know Jesus Christ. Yeah, he didn't have the... But you listen, he's now at Pentecost and we're this side of Pentecost. You know, he'd gone on back to heaven. The Bible wasn't finished. Book of Romans hadn't been written. The Acts of the Apostles hadn't been written. We got a lot of things, you know. We didn't know about, you know. But they didn't know, but we know now. No excuse for us not having peace. We just don't have faith. And there was Peter and all the rest of them. He said, "My peace give I unto you." Your peace. Yes, I'm giving my peace. What is your peace? Well, I'll demonstrate. They come up and pull out my beard. Spit in my face. Take a crown of thorns and put it on my brow and push it down. But before that happened, I'm out there in the garden. Before I go to the cross, after this happened. In a garden. My agony is so great, perspiration like drops of blood fall on my brow. And I'm all alone. Others off taking a nap while I'm suffering. And here I am. Say, "Let this cup pass from me. This cup that I'm drinking now, let this pass from me. If it be thy will, let it pass. Not my will, but thine be done." And now I'm going up the hilltop with a cross on my back. Back's bloody and mangled. Cross is heavy. Crown of thorns, I'm weak and worn. In great torture and pain, I stagger on the cross. What do you say? Get up and complain? No. I'm like a lamb led to the slaughter, not opening my mouth. I'm going on up there, staggering on the load, and they lift it up, and then they put me on the cross, and they take my clothes off, haven't anything on. I'm refined, too. I'm the sensitive, refined Son of God. The purest woman that ever blushed was never as refined as the Son of God. There in his agony and blood, with his body beaten into a pulp, hanging on a cross. They're mocking him and spitting at him. And even the thieves on his side, one of them got converted later, but to start with, both of them turned and railed on him. There the religious leaders egging the crowd on. What you do? Oh, he had the power even then to have reached up and got a hold of a thunderbolt and sent him into eternity. They said, "Come down off the cross, you're so wonderful." What do, Jesus? I pray for them. And this is my prayer. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And I go on till the crisis comes, a crucial moment, and in that moment of agony, I say, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And then I cry out, not in a faint, weak voice, but with a voice that echoed down the corridors of hell. And mingled with the shouts of angels up in heaven, I cried, "It's finished." And then it's over. I lay down my life. You mean that I can have that peace that you had? That's what I say. Not the peace of the world, Not the peace that you have up today and down tomorrow. Not the sort of peace that you have when you're prosperous and then you're up against it financially and don't know what you're going to do. Payment coming due, you're up against it. Wonder if you're going to meet it. Not that kind of thing. Not the kind of thing that keeps you awake at night and makes you toss in the bed and not sleep. Not that. What kind of peace? My peace. My peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, let it be afraid. I'll give you something to hold you. Christians, you're going to need it. But there's never been a man that ever surrendered to Jesus Christ that couldn't meet any test it has to meet. There's no temptation, no trial. And that's more the meaning of this. No trial ever comes. In the history of a human life, there's no trial that you ever meet but what there's a way out for you, somehow or other. Some way. I'll not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you're able to bear. Now, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm not just talking to you. I'm awfully human myself, you know. This Irish blood in me. This tempestuous temperament I have. I'm talking to myself, too. But I'm not justifying myself any word I've ever done. You and I ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We call ourselves Christians. And we are fretting and fuming and worrying about every little nothing, see? And going on through this life instead of staying steady, 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 see? My peace give I unto you. There were two painters, so the story goes, that put on canvas their idea of peace. One made it a picture of a lonely lake in a silent grove. There was seldom ever a falling of a leaf and scarcely ever the ripple of a wave. And above this still lonely, silent picture, the artist wrote rest or peace. And another painter said, he's wrong about that. That's not real peace. So he painted a picture of a waterfall. Just above the waterfall, he put a projecting limb. On the projecting limb, he put a bird's nest. In the bird's nest, he put a singing bird. And above the raging, foaming, storming, tempestuous fall, he wrote rest or peace. He was right. Peace is not something that God gives you that puts you in the woods somewhere and hides you where there's nothing to bother you. Peace is something God gives you when you face the foe. The battle's on. Troubles have come. Storms are raging. You know, the wind's blowing. A bird sits on a limb that swings and sings because it has wings. You couldn't sit on a swinging limb 50 feet in the air in a storm and keep singing. You couldn't do it because you haven't any wings. See? But if you have the wings of faith with which to fly, storms won't bother you. You can fly above the storm. The higher up you get, the less storm it is. The nearer heaven you get, the less storms you have. The storms are near the earth's surface. But down this world, where there's trouble and turmoil and greed and selfishness and meanness, my peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. How about this Christmas? We've been talking about the angel choir singing about it. Peace on earth, good men of good will. I wonder if you in on that thing. I wonder if you can hear him saying to you today, don't be troubled. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm right here. It's in the dark, you know. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to be afraid of the dark. I never did believe in driving little children out in the dark when they didn't want to go. I still, in my old age, can see tombstones dancing in the graveyard on a moonlight night. I can stand in any cemetery and they can see them sort of seem to be me. They're dancing around a little bit, you know. Just had a lot of imagination, though. And I used to be afraid of the night, you know. But I'd go out with my father, see, and get out in the night, you know. And he'd just reach his right forefinger down, and I'd get hold of it. I didn't care, wasn't afraid of anything. Let the tombstones dance themselves to death, didn't bother me. I wasn't scared when he was there, you know. All I wanted to be sure was he was there, see. So why should you and I, children of God, be so disturbed all the time? If you're walking along with God, and he said he's there, But see, I can't see him all the time. I can't even feed him. Well, he said he was there. That's what he said. Maybe he wants you to trust him. Maybe he don't let you feel sometimes just so he can stimulate your faith a little. You know, it's if you know you're holding somebody's hand, you can feel it, you know. But if he just says, I'm right here. And I said, you won't see me the whole time, but I'll be right along with you. Just go ahead. And yet we worry and fret and fume. My peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You needn't worry. I saw my father die. He was a tempestuous temperament, high strung and fractious, and quite a fighter. He's an old Confederate soldier. But a man that had great faith, and he prayed, I told you this one time, all day long. He prayed one day, and I was a boy not long before he died. Just prayed and talked to God. And I never heard my father shout, but he started to shout, praise God, praise God, praise God. He just kept praising the Lord, not hollering, just praising God. And I sat down by him. After a while, you know, the chill and the black wing of death began to fan his face. And he began to sing a song. I've never forgotten it. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. And he kept singing. He reached those words, when at last I near the shore and the fearful breakers roar twixt me and the ocean wild. And with a tremble of that song on his lips, he slipped away. Listen, it doesn't matter what your temptations may be or what your battles may be or how dark the night may be or how lonely the path may seem. If you are surrendered to Jesus Christ unconditionally, unreservedly, absolutely, all out for him, and you have the faith, you can have the peace. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Our Father, we thank thee for the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Humanly we can't explain it, but the peace of God. We pray thee the hearts that haven't had this peace may have it. May we surrender so fully and so completely to our Lord that this peace may be in our hearts to hold us steady, whatever may be ahead of us in this world. Keep us faithful. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Today's message on the Chapel Hour, recorded December 25th, 1955, was delivered by the founder of Bob Jones University, the late Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. Many of our listeners request copies of these messages. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, write Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Please enclose a check for $6.50. Listen for the Chapel Hour Monday through Friday at this time, sponsored by Bob Jones University.